This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 178 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me, via Skype, not from down south, but from up north, Mr. Philip Andrews. How are you?
Hi, good to be here, Bruce. And what is it, 178, did you
this
say?
This is episode 178, yeah.
Wow, incredible, mate. Well, kudos to you. That is fantastic.
It is, yeah. And I don't know if you know, Phil, but Shelton got married recently.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah. He did the unthinkable. He married the model.
All right.
But she's lovely, and they are absolutely happy. And I went down to their wedding in Melbourne. It must have been about 6 weeks ago now. And then they headed off to the US for a month, where they ran some workshops and had a honeymoon, kind of a joint working and, you know, honeymoon trip.
Wow. And then I'm not sure I would have got away with that, but anyway.
Well, thankfully she is as competent with a camera as he is, so they had quite a fun time, you know, mixing, you know, work and pleasure. So
we all tend to have to do in order to keep the dollars coming through the door.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So they've come, you know, they've come home, but Shelton has had to move house, and he's not yet got his computer up and running. And he sat down to try and get his computer up and running yesterday and found that it wasn't booting up. So I thought, I just can't let another week go by without a podcast. So I thought, well, I'll give you a buzz and see what you're up to. And I'm sure we can
luckily,
find...
luckily you've caught me 2 days before I fly off again.
Yeah.
So we did all right.
So we've got to talk about that. So I mean, we've mentioned in the past that you've got this little farmhouse a couple of hours west of Paris.
That's right, yes.
And you're actually going to relocate, like, temporarily part of the
that's
year?
That's right. So this is the first time that we're actually going to try and run the business full time from over there. A lot of our interests, business interests, are in the States and in Europe, and so we do tend to travel to those two places quite often. But generally, we only stay there for short periods of time. But as our family is growing up, our kids are growing up, the opportunity is there to maybe spend a bit more time there. So I'm essentially duplicating my office over there, and
nice.
And trying to put as much of my business online as possible, so that I can drive it from wherever we are.
Wow!
And, so all of our employees never come to my office anyway, and they're all over. We've got six people in the company, and they're all over the place, including ones already in the UK, and so we all work remotely, I guess is the term people use, and we just have systems in place and online that enable us to do that, and so, you know, when the government talks about the broadband network that they're talking about, we're the sorts of companies that will really take advantage of that. You know, it's a bit of a misnomer to think, oh, I'll just make my Facebook pages come up quicker. You know, for companies like us who are trying to compete on a world scale, I think, you know, it's essential.
And, so beyond the magazine, which I should have refreshed everybody's memory, Phil is one of the co-editors of Better Photoshop Techniques magazine here in Australia. What other pies have you got fingers in, Phil?
Sure. So we've been producing magazines for the iPad and for the last little while, so we're trying to catch the new wave of digital publishing. And we've got several different types of publications. We've got a magazine called DI Magazine for the iPad, and there's a free issue of that out on the web now, so if you guys want to go to iTunes, you can certainly pick that up, and we'd love to hear your comments about it.
So do they just search DI Magazine?
Yep, DI Magazine, yep. At iTunes. It's available worldwide, and it's interactive. You can touch and swipe, and, you know, there's animations and all sorts of bits and pieces there.
Wow.
And it's truly an international platform for us, which is great, because it's a lot easier to get that kind of electronic information out and around the world than it is a print product, where you've got shipping and postage and, you know, handling, yeah, and all that stuff to look at.
And I guess you don't have the wastage either, if there are... You
not
know,
at all.
Like printing magazines, you know, you're not guaranteed to sell every one that you print. And digitally, you don't have that concern.
You can carry tons of them in just one iPad or one little Android tablet, which we're beta-ing a version on Android tablets at the moment.
Oh, you legend.
So we waited till Honeycomb, which if you're not a geek, came out. But Honeycomb is like the Android operating system.
That's the it's the tablet specific operating system for
designed
for,
Android, for tablets. So, So thankfully, there's some really good ones in the market now, and you know, there's Asus and Acer, and there's a couple of other like Motorola Zoom on the market, and also I think in Asia there's Pioneer Computers as well, and all these guys have really good quality tablets, and we're just looking at the best way to make sure that. We can get the same kind of experience that we've got with our iPad publications on the tablets as well. But something that I think your readers will be, or listeners, sorry, will be particularly interested in is that we just released a series of three apps for the iPad only at the moment. But they are the first app of this type in the world, and they're essentially a digital magazine. And with the latest version of Photoshop installed, so it's Photoshop CS5 with the latest update, you can flick through the technique in the magazine and tap on the steps of the technique in the iPad magazine, and it performs it for you inside your version of Photoshop on your desktop.
What?
So wirelessly the steps in Photoshop. So it even pushes the example image that you have on your screen, on your iPad, it pushes that image to your laptop or your computer on your desktop.
Will that only work if you're using a Mac, or will it work on a PC?
No, it works on a PC. So what actually happens in the latest version of Photoshop, which is Photoshop CS5, but you have to get the latest update, which is a free update, they've opened up something called Remote Connections. And you've probably read about some of the Adobe Release 3 iPad apps in the App Store to connect with Photoshop wirelessly. Well, I was in the States at the time that they were developing this, it's called Photoshop Touch SDK, and they were demonstrating it to me, and I said, oh, I've got a really good idea. What about if we put that functionality alongside our magazines and enable people to perform the steps in our tutorials on their computer wirelessly? And right there and then, they gave me the SDK. We came back to Australia, and within 2 weeks, we had a beta working. We sent it back to the States, and they went, holy mackerel, that's fantastic. So we're still the only ones in the world who can do it. Currently, we're releasing a new app every week or two. And they're things like...
So when you say an app, that's like a tutorial for a specific technique or approach within Photoshop, is it?
Correct. So there's a free one out there called DI... Direct Photoshop Touch,
right?
And it's I encourage your listeners to download it for their iPads, have a play with it, and tell us what you think. But it's the theme for that particular magazine or booklet, I guess it is how to do really creative blur techniques inside Photoshop.
Wow.
And then we've got another one out called Tint and Tone, which is all monochrome tinting and toning techniques. And so you flick through the tutorial, tap on the first step, which opens up the example image, tap on the second step, and it performs the second step in the tutorial. And then once you've learned how to do the techniques, you can turn your iPad sidewards, and it changes the view of the application to just recipes. So then you've got a bunch of recipes that you can open up your own images into Photoshop and then apply a recipe. So for instance, in the tinting or toning, you might pick a sepia tone recipe, and it will apply the sepia tone recipe from your iPad to your image, which you can then customize.
Wow. So these recipes are sort of like action steps,
correct,
sequences.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
So we don't actually use actions. We use really kind of geeky JavaScript in the back end, but you don't need to know about that.
Sure.
But what you need to know is that it is groundbreaking technology. No other publishing in the world will be able to connect or can connect with Photoshop and provide in context, you know, step by step driving your Photoshop from your iPad.
Mate, that is really exciting stuff.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so we're very excited about it. Apple is, Apple and Adobe are very excited about it. I just demonstrated it to Apple Australia last week, and they're looking at featuring it in the iTunes Store coming up soon. Adobe is really wrapped in it, and they're putting it out to their Facebook guys next week, I think it is, and they've got like 2.5 million people or something or other who are fans. So we're hoping to see a bit of an uptake on that. But certainly, it was number 13 in all iPad photography apps last week in the States. So
nice.
So it's amazing. We're very excited about it, and I think all of your listeners will be excited about it too, because it's like having us performing the techniques for you before your eyes, and then you can, once you've learnt them, perform them.
You know what? I'm a big proponent of the best way to learn is to actually do the thing yourself. You know, it's all well and good to stand there and watch somebody else do it, but I know from my own personal experience that I really absorb, you know, a technique or information much better when I get to sit down and do it for myself. And to have that level of interactivity is just mind-boggling.
Well, it means that people can read the technique, look at the little thumbnail. I mean, it's laid out exactly the same way as we lay out all of our tutorials. And then they go, okay, right, so in order to do this technique, I need to do XYZ. Okay, right, got it. And then they tap on the number for that technique, and it performs that function before their eyes inside Photoshop.
That is awesome.
It's very cool.
That's very cool, yeah.
And look, I'll tell you some breaking news as well, which I've only just, we met with the team this afternoon, and we've decided to create a desktop version of this as well. So not only will you, if you have an iPad, or down the road if you have a Android tablet, which we're porting the technology to, but if you don't have either of those, which a lot of photographers don't, we're actually creating a desktop version as well. So that will mean you can download a small application which will sit on your desktop, and you can search all of the tutorials that we have produced and select which ones you want, install them directly to your desktop, and drive Photoshop using the tutorials from your desktop. So
if you're like me, who's a little bit anti-Apple, will I be able to get those techniques from somewhere other than the iTunes Store?
Definitely. So our long-term plans are Android, so you'll be able to get them from we're Android developers, and we're signed up with Amazon. Amazon will be distributing.
Oh, okay.
Amazon has an Android marketplace.
But that Android marketplace on Amazon is US only, isn't it?
For the moment.
Right.
And it should spread out from that. In the meanwhile, Australian and places outside of the US will be able to, we'll be selling directly through the Google Android marketplace.
Oh, cool. That was my next question. Yeah.
Sure. The reason why we'll be listing in Amazon is because all of my other books are available on Amazon. So when you actually type in Philip Andrews, you'll get a list of my traditional print books.
Yep.
And we've got a big Amazon following of people who just go to Amazon to buy our titles. So it's makes sense to us to have them also listed there, our digital titles listed there as well. So yes, we're working on porting that technology out to Android tablets, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also working at porting that technology out to Windows desktop, number two.
Wow.
So given that we're a small company, it's going to take us a while to do that, but we are getting a lot of support from Adobe because we're first at doing this, and because they're very excited about the type of integration that we're doing, and so we hope to be able to turn that around quicker than if we were just doing it by ourselves.
Mate, that is fantastic. Oh, I wish you all the best with that.
Thanks, appreciate it. And please, you know, we'd be very, very happy to get feedback from your listeners, because I know that they're all active and they're all very excited by making great images, and that's exactly what drives us. So we'd love to hear people suggesting topics for us to do for these little apps, and also giving us feedback on how they've found the apps working.
So for those of our listeners who do have, you know, iPads at the moment, and those of you who've got Android tablets when you get the Android version out and running, what is the best way for them to get feedback to you?
if you just go to we've got a dedicated website for the iPad publishing and tablet publishing, mm-hmm. and it's called di-magazine.com. Di-magazine.com, and it'll have all the up-to-date apps that we've got and links through to the iTunes store or the Android marketplace if it's available there as well. And essentially, if you see or read about an app on that website, you can just go straight to either of those stores and just type in the app name, and it'll take you straight to the app. So, and you can read what other people are saying about the technology as well. Loads of really good reviews coming back from people saying, "Wow, this is groundbreaking!" And what better way to learn about Photoshop than have it perform it before your very eyes, step by step, so you can work through it. So
totally. And does your business have a Facebook page?
Yes, we do. So Better Photoshop Techniques has a Facebook page, and DI Magazine has a Facebook page, and our PhotoshopElements.net support website has a Facebook page as well, which we're migrating away from. They were all started before fan pages came up.
Right.
So we're migrating away from the towards fan pages. So there might be a change in the next week or so as we move towards that as well.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the future, and you can give us updates on where's the best place for people to give you feedback on these apps. Because, I'm one of those who doesn't have a tablet yet. I'm still to-ing and fro-ing on the whole form factor. It's too big to be a handy portable device, and it's too small to be in a notebook. I've got friends who've got them and absolutely swear by them, and I'm sure if I sat down and played one with one for a couple of hours, I'd probably then be lusting after one.
Well, I've been quite surprised about how they've actually started to be used. And so lots of meetings that where a year ago people would have their laptop sitting there, they now have a tablet device sitting there, and which I find kind of interesting, because I don't necessarily like to type on them. But certainly in terms of taking notes, and in terms of something that's very small you can just walk around with, and in terms of connectivity, they are very, very portable and very easy to use, and the battery life's incredible.
Yeah.
So, when you're on flights, you see a lot of people with tablets. Either doing a little bit of work. I saw a guy. I was flying up from Sydney to Brisbane last week, and I saw a guy prepare a whole presentation on his iPad.
What, like putting a PowerPoint type presentation?
Correct. Wow. So there's a version of Keynote that you can get for.
Which is the Mac equivalent of PowerPoint. Yep.
And he prepared a whole presentation in the flight, and he was working for, actually I better not say, but he was working for a big name company, and obviously he had a meeting that afternoon, and he was just preparing that as he was flying, and because the battery life is so good, and the the graphics are so good, that I found it interesting that he chosen to do that on his tablet device rather than on a fully fledged notebook of some sort.
Wow,
it's very interesting. I mean, and the other interesting thing for photographers is that lots of the support companies that we've come to know and trust, like Color Vision, for instance, and X-Rite, are starting to produce tablet-based utilities as well for doing things like getting good calibration of your tablets,
right?
And all that, you'll see more and more of that kind of dedicated utilities and third-party applications that are dedicated to photographers.
It makes me wonder how long it'll be before companies like ISO come out with a pad.
Well, yeah, I mean. We when we first started doing the magazine, we did some of our own private testing of the iPad screens to try and get a bit of a profile for the way in which it represented colors and tones, so that we could optimize the photos that we use in the digital magazine to get the best results. And if you've had a look at any of our digital magazines, you'll see that our images look fantastic, and that's because we've done that work. And we found that there was comparatively little variation between the screen. So Apple's done a good job with that. I'm not sure if that's the same with a whole lot of other tablets, but the higher priced Android tablets that I've been playing with certainly have very good screens. From manufacturer to manufacturer, obviously there'll be differences.
Yeah.
And I think that we're just on, you know, we're just in the beginning of this whole kind of tablet revolution, and things can only get better. But they're at a pretty good starting point for a lot of you know, photography applications and usages.
Mm.
So it's very interesting way of working.
Very interesting times.
Yeah, definitely. Big changing times for publishers. So you'll see a lot of publishers dipping their toe into the digital publishing world. But I think it needs to be more than just a replication of the print product on a tablet device. You need to take it further, and doing things like connecting your tablet wirelessly to Photoshop, I think, is a good kind of example of the sorts of things that we can now do.
So if you're happy to discuss it on the podcast, I'll ask the question. If you don't want to talk about this on the podcast, I can cut it out. So what's the business model for this? Will it be purchase driven from the user point of view, or will it be ad revenue driven within the application?
That's a very good question, because one of the big challenges for publishers now is going worldwide. First of all, going worldwide with your distribution of your digital publication breaks down some of the business models that you might have used locally. So,
sure,
we've always tried to, with better Photoshop techniques, we've always tried to produce a more of a book than a magazine. Mm-hmm. And all of your listeners who have copies of the magazine will know that it's something that you put away and you refer to on, you know, later on.
Yep.
And so people actually build a collection of them because they're more like a reference library than they are a disposable magazine. And so because of that, we have quite a high price point, but we've got tons of loyal readers who are happy to pay that little bit more just to get something that's printed on better paper and has more content and less ads and all those sorts of things. Now, that kind of business model does not work online at all,
right?
Especially when your counterparts in the States and in the UK are selling their, you know, magazines for like $3.99 or $4.99 US.
Yeah.
Or worse, they do subscription deals of $20 US for the year.
Yeah.
So you've got that kind of business model that you need to compete with, plus also things like the traditional app business model for iPhones and iPads, where you know, 99 cents or $1.99 or $2.99 is pretty much where the majority of paid apps are sitting.
Yeah.
So we're still playing with the model. We've got three different product types in the market. We've got the magazine, which you get the first magazine free, and then we can push previews of all the other magazines to your device, which you can then have a look at and decide whether you want to buy them on a magazine by magazine basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at $5.99. These are US prices because they're all governed by as a tier from the US.
Yeah, we'll keep it that way because that's getting cheaper and cheaper for us.
And so the magazine's slightly more expensive than the US counterparts,
right?
But substantially cheaper than print counterparts here in Australia or New Zealand. And then we've got our books. So we've got some iPad books, the first of which is a portrait retouching book, which has 40 world-class retouching techniques in it.
Wow.
For portraiture. And that's at, I think it's at $7.99 in the US, which comes in just because of the way Apple does things, I think just under $10 here in Australia.
Yep.
But it's more of a substantial kind of product than the magazine. And then we've got these DI Direct U-Drive Photoshop apps.
Hmm.
And they're in at $1.99 and $2.99 depending on the size of them. So,
wow.
But they're smaller. They've got fives.
That's a really good price, though, for an end user. Like that's a very accessible price point for the quality of the tutorial that you get, and for that interactive, you know, functionality. I think that's great.
Well, what we've done is we've really, really tried hard to streamline our production process so that we can provide the quality of content that we want in a very focused way. but be able to turn around the application development in a much quicker way than a lot of publishers can do. And so therefore we can keep the price right down. And in order to do that, we actually built our own publishing system. So we built our own publishing system that publishes directly to iPad as a native iPad application. And because we built that, it's now possible for us to port that to other platforms as well. So in fact, one of the reasons why I'm going to, we're heading off to Europe, is because of a couple of business meetings with other publishers over there who are looking at licensing the publishing system for exactly the same reason. That there's lots of big publishing systems there that they can get involved with, but they want something that's small and agile that they can put out their own small apps as well. So it's a changing world, definitely. And the business models are no longer the business models of old. The publishing models are no longer the publishing models of old. And I guess we're kind of lucky, because we kind of have the energy and the enthusiasm and the passion for teaching people about taking and making great photos still. And B, we have kind of the technological prowess, I guess, to be able to engage these new technologies in this way. Mm. So we're kind of lucky, and we feel privileged to be in this position, to be honest. So
yeah. Well, mate, all the best with it.
Cheers.
So you're going to be in France next week, so you're not going to be here for PMA.
No, it's the first time I've missed PMA for probably 10 years.
Wow.
And it's a big deal for me. There's a couple of other things that are which I can't mention, which are hot on the boil at the moment.
Oh, okay.
But they're substantial enough to take me to Europe for what is traditionally the big party. The big work season at PMA.
Right.
And so I definitely will be back on the show if those things pan out. I'll definitely be back on the show because. Just as there's big changes in publishing, there's big changes in other areas of photographic industry, and unfortunately, I can't talk more about it than just that.
No,
but the level of interactivity that you'll see be across devices is just going to explode in the next 6 to 8 months, and
wow.
Because of our involvement in that particular technology from Adobe, we've got a couple of interesting projects that we're trying to pitch for and work with other just as companies who are just as big and just as vital in the publishing area, in the photography area. And if that comes off, I think you'll see some really amazing stuff in 6 to 8 months' time. So, Bruce, you'll be first to hear about it, mate.
Excellent, Phil. I certainly look forward to it. As we said a minute ago, it's very interesting times, with all this new technology that's just exploding around us. There's certainly interesting times ahead.
Well, what a great time to be a photographer is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to when I first started in the whole business, where things have been the same pretty much for 30 years or so, back in the late 70s, early 80s, things have been the same pretty much for the 30 years or so, with a little bit of changes here, there and everywhere. Just and then we got into the digital revolution, and then things have just snowballed ever since. And
yeah.
So, I mean, who'd have thought that you could... On the back of your DSLR now, when you select aperture, it comes up with a little tutorial on the back that talks to you about depth of field.
Yeah.
I mean, fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely fabulous,
Yeah.
And when you change the aperture, you've got a little, cartoony type preview on the back of the camera that says, oh, do you know in changing the aperture to f22, you've just increased the,
depth of field.
Depth of field. And you're going, this is fabulous. I mean, what a time to be alive as a photographer.
Yeah.
The amount of technology we have to hand is incredible.
It raises the question, with all of the publishing stuff that you're into and the education, do you actually still get paid to go and take photographs?
Get paid? Well, the interesting thing is I pay myself to take photos now, which is basically I commission myself to go
nice.
And take photos for a lot of the publishing that we do. Having said that, you probably, if you have been to see any Photoshop CS5 top feature demonstrations anywhere in the world, you will have seen some of my pictures in that demonstration because some of my pictures are actually part of the asset set that Adobe lovely. Worldwide uses. So so things like that are very much what I'm interested in. And just recently, only last week, that some of my images were another publishing company in the States asked to use some of my images for one of their books as well. So it's a very small world when you actually get into the publishing side of things. And most photographic publishers know each other, and most photographic authors who publish a lot know each other as well, or know of each other. Mm. And once you get reasonably well known, there's lots of opportunities for you to have your images published. And if you're savvy enough to make sure that you get paid for them as well. So, another kind of side to that question is that I don't actually shoot as much as I like to. And just like, business is important to keep the food on the table. Sometimes, I get a bit antsy if I don't have the chance to go out and just spend the afternoon or spend the weekend shooting.
Yeah. And, it is good for the soul, isn't it?
It is good for the soul. Yeah. It is good for the soul. I mean, I mentioned I was in the States just recently. Well, one of the wonderful things I had a chance to do was visit some of the places where Ansel Adams actually shot a lot of his iconic images on the coastline of California there.
Yep.
And photographed some of the cypress trees that he had in some of his images.
Did you get out to his gallery on Highway 5?
I didn't get to the gallery, no. There was about six of us from Adobe and... a guy from the NASA imaging department as well, and a couple of underwater photographers who happen to be around the ridges as well. And we try and take the weekend off from doing, geeky stuff to do with software and go and all photograph together, which every time we go, I think they use it as an excuse to tell their wives or partners or husbands, so oh, no, let's just... got to entertain the Aussie, so they're taking him out for the weekend. So, but all we basically do is wander off somewhere for a couple of days and take photos, which is always great.
Nice.
And so we had a good time. In particular, the light is quite different there near Monterey and Point Lobos and all around that California coast. And so we did quite a lot of HDR and some 32-bit panos as well, which were fun to play with.
Yeah, right.
And it was really the only way of capturing highlight and shadow detail in a sweeping panorama. That kind of stuff is just, you come away from a weekend like that going, now I remember why I'm so in love with taking pictures.
Yeah.
Because it's magical. It's just magical.
Totally.
And when you get to share it with other photographers who are just as passionate, it's just a great experience.
It is. Well, Phil, I'll call it quits there. And I wish you a very safe flight to France, and I hope everything works out for the the business side of things. I hope that all works out. That certainly sounds like what you're getting into is very exciting. And we'll talk to you again sometime in the very near future, no doubt.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate the support that that your listeners have provided for us, because I do notice a jump in the emails that I get, the visits to the website, and for our various publications and support websites as well, every time that I'm on the podcast.
Awesome. All right, we'll catch up with you, Phil.
Cheers, mate.
And while I've got Skype fired up, I've noticed that Paul Curtis, the marketing manager for the Photographic Marketing Association here in Australia, is on Skype. So I might just give him a quick call and see if he wants to have a chat about PMA, which is coming up next weekend. How's it going, Paul?
Pretty good, thanks. Bruce, and yourself?
Very well. Good to talk to you. What is this, the third or fourth year we've spoken?
Something like
one
that.
One or the other.
I don't even know what day it is.
You must be like a hamster on a treadmill at this time of year.
It's pretty hectic, but it's good fun, you know. We've got lots of exciting things happening, and as long as we can put it all together, we should be in for a really fantastic show this year. I'm pretty confident we're going to get there, says he, nervously.
So is there anything particularly, exciting in the industry that you think is worth, people getting along to see or to experience?
I hope so. We spent the last year working on it.
Of course.
It's a peculiar show. It's not all about product. We've got lots of new product and lots of things to look at. But it's more an event. we put an awful lot of emphasis on trying to help people take better pictures. And we have the most fantastic lecture program running, and right. they're all free, I think. I can't think of anyone that charges for anything. No, they're all free. Except you've got to get into the expo to see them. Slight catch. But your wily old listeners know all about the tricks for that. All you do is go to the website. Yeah, go on the website or go to your photo dealer. And you can pick up a free ticket, save yourself the $20 entrance fee. So if you go to www.pmaaustralia.com.au and register for the photo show, you can get a free pass. But you need to do that for Wednesday and Thursday.
I was just about to ask. So Wednesday is the cutoff or Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay. So I mean, this podcast will go up on Sunday afternoon, so that essentially gives you 4 days to hear this podcast and to then get onto the website, register for PMA in Sydney. It's at Darling Harbour, and you'll then be able to get in without having to pay the $20 fee that they'll slug you at the door if you rock up on the weekend. Is that essentially how it goes?
That's how it goes. In other words, if you do your job for us, or our job for you... we will judge the $20 it costs to register somebody.
Fantastic. So what can we expect to see this year?
Well, let's talk a bit about the education programs.
Sure.
I think they're really exciting. You know the photographer Murray Fredericks? He was on ABC TV, did that SORT program.
Right.
Fantastic photographer.
The guy that went out to Lake Eyre.
That's it.
Yes.
He devotes his life to living alone in the most hard conditions to get these most fantastic shots.
That was phenomenal, and yeah.
His works in art galleries, you know, around the world. He is a really top photographer, one of the most dedicated people. He committed to give this presentation to us in a mad moment about a year ago. And now we're going to have to fly him in specially from Darwin and bring him out of the bush. He is a fascinating man.
I just want to break in and say, you know, for our international listeners, if you've not heard of Murray, you've got to hunt out this documentary that he made. It was called Salt, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And what he did was he went out to Lake Eyre, which, if you're not familiar with Australia, Lake Eyre is our lowest point of land mass. It's actually lower than sea level, but for the majority of the year it's a dry salt bed, and it's only when we get floods, you know, and big rainfall in the interior that it actually fills up as a lake, and then, you know, we just have this massive explosion of wildlife and flora and fauna out in the middle of Australia, which we normally don't get. But he went out there and he camped in a tent, and he went out on a push bike of all things, and he just got up at, you know, the crack of dawn and was taking these amazing photographs, and he videoed the whole thing while he was out there. He didn't take a film crew with him. He just set the video camera up on a tripod and just let it roll while he was doing his thing, and you see him doing push-ups on the salt beds and all this kind of stuff. It's a fantastic documentary, and I highly recommend it to anyone who wants... Yeah, if you've got an interest in photography, just watch this doco. Anyway, sorry, Paul. Back to you.
No. I'm amazed. How do you know all that? That's fantastic.
Oh, because
you're better than a documentary.
I only saw a portion of it. I didn't get to see the whole thing. I really need to track it down and sit down and watch it all. I just happened to walk into a room somewhere when it was on, and I just sat there mesmerized and saw like the last 10 minutes of it. I have no idea how long it runs, but it looked fantastic. So, yeah. So I'm excited to hear that he's going to be there and talking.
Yeah, it'd make a change for him too, to be yanked out of the wilds of the inside of Australia and shoved into the Darling Harbour Convention Centre at 5:30 p.m.
right.
on Saturday the 25th.
Oh, nice.
He will confront the other Australia. So 5:30 in the Parkside Meeting Room, mm-hmm. that's in the Sydney Convention Exhibition Centre at Darling Harbour. There's no charge.
Right.
And the theatre's pretty big, you know, it'll hold over 500.
Okay.
But do go online and register for the show first, because if you've got one of those badges on you that they compass with the registration yep. on the web, they'll let you into the... You get priority seating. So
oh, okay.
We've no idea how many people will turn up, but those that know will be in for a real treat.
Well, anyone who knows his work and, you know, knows what he has done and knows that he's going to be there and speaking would be absolutely crazy not to be on a seat in front of it and listening.
Yeah. So that's Saturday. Also on Saturday, we have another theatre on the show floor, and we have a terrific lineup of talent speaking there. We've got people like, just to name a couple, we have Peter Bacina, who's quite well known to people for work he does on Channel 7, and Charlie Brown, who does work on Channel 9.
Yep.
They'll be talking about connectivity. In fact, Charlie's doing his 2GB arrival show for you, a 2GB radio show from the show floor at 2 o'clock on the Sunday.
Right.
And these guys are basically there to talk about connectivity, and we've got all these wonderful things with cameras and iPhones, iPads, all this stuff, and they're going to explain how you can integrate your photography into your day-to-day living with all the various various types of connectivity issues we've got today. So if you want to know how to walk into your family home, have the pictures sucked out of your phone and shoved up on the TV, or
fantastic,
or straight off on the cloud, or put into a photo book from the cloud, they'll be there to help you.
You know what, just before you came online, I was talking with Philip Andrews, and he was talking about the things that, you know, his publishing company is developing along with Adobe, and how they're going to have these applications that run on the iPad that will be interactive tutorials that you will actually be able to, you know, push a button on your iPad, and that will launch the actions within your installed version of Photoshop on your desktop machine, and then step you through that tutorial using your own image.
Yeah,
like, that's just mind blowing.
He's a smart guy. Actually, on my iPad, I've got one of Philip's things, and where he's taking all that is quite extraordinary.
Oh, it is.
In fact, the whole iPad business is
the whole tablet sphere, not only iPad, but, you know, Android.
I suppose there are others.
And, yeah.
I suppose we should recognise others. I must confess, I'm an iPad fan.
Right.
If only they would put Flash in it, I would.
The beauty of Android, mate. Come over to the dark side.
Yeah, well, getting tempted, I'll tell you. There's a new iPad meant to be coming out before Christmas, or was that just a wicked rumour?
Who knows?
Maybe if it hasn't got Flash, I might be with you and give up on it.
I don't think Apple will ever embrace Flash all the while Steve Jobs is still at the helm.
Well, they're trying to get round it, aren't they? They're trying to find some circumvention.
I know pretty much all of the users wish they had access to Flash on Apple products, but Steve has this thing where he doesn't want to know about Flash, and all the while he's in the chair, I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, how long he will remain in the chair is, you know, open to speculation, you know, given his health. But, anyway.
Well, if he doesn't do it soon, I'll just stick to printing my photos, which is the best way anyway.
Absolutely. Okay, so, of course, you know, going on with the educational thing, obviously Shelton and Glenn are going to be there with their Creative Photo Workshop stand.
They're very popular. They get a huge crowd. Shelton's fantastic, and he's so helpful, you know. He really helps people improve their photography.
He does. Well, he's helped me a lot. I'll say that.
Good.
Anything else in the educational, you know, space?
Yeah. We've got a small workshop area as well, which is being run by some of our major retailers like Paxton's, Ted's, Photo Resort, Camera House.
Right.
And, for instance, actually, Paxton's are very brave. You've got to hand it to them. They've taken seven of their own photographers that work on staff, and they can explain what's inside their camera bag and show how they use that technology to take better pictures.
Right.
Ted's are going to talk about DSLR cameras for HD video capture. I must confess, I'm one of the ones that forgets it's there all the time. I older guy, I had this mindset that I'd pick up a video camera or a DSLR. But yeah.
Not both in the one body.
Yeah, it's a completely different change of thinking, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I find it still strange to have a still camera and be able to take perfect HD video capture movies.
Mm.
So anyway, Ted's going to present some tips on that. These are on the Saturday and the Sunday. Fada Riesel does talks on low light and night photography, macro and sports. And I'll tell you who they have got is rather special, brought over by Gary Fong, brought over by Camera House, sorry. Gary Fong. Have you heard of this guy?
I've heard of the name, but I can't place him.
He photographed Paul McCartney, Ronald Reagan, Priscilla Presley, Sylvester Stallone, right. Bruce Lee. He's a bit of a heavy hitter, in other words.
Yeah.
He's an American. He was one of the most successful wedding photographers in the world and was named as such in the top 10 by a TV show. But he's also, on top of all that, he's an entrepreneurial inventor. He's the man behind that LightSphere flash diffusion accessory. And
okay.
Really, that's the question of taking an inexpensive flash unit and putting an adapter on it to create studio quality lighting, so it's great for both indoors and outdoors. And Gary,
is this the one that comes with, you know, it has like four or five different styles of attachment that you put onto a speed light, so you can have it like barn doors, you can have it like a diffuser, you can have it like a softbox.
I've got the diffusion one.
Is that the one that I'm thinking of?
I think so, yeah. I have a full range, but I've got a diffusion one, which is one of his, and I use it on my, actually I don't use my flash now without it. It just gives such a, I hate flash on camera,
right?
But this does let you get away with flash on camera, and it's terrific. Yeah, so anyway, it'd be fascinating to see and hear Gary, who's a very accomplished and internationally respected photographer around the world, explain. It's a very small theater. Well, actually there's two. He will be in the main show theater, so you go on the web and get all the hours and details there. But he's doing a very small workshop at 2:30 on both Saturday and Sunday in what we call the photo help zone.
Right.
If it's not on the web now, it will be on Monday. I'm not sure what else is working tonight.
Okay.
So we only just confirmed his time a little while ago. Who else we got there? I think that just about covers it. We've got Fada Riesel also talks on color space, file formats and compression, composition, how to make images look great, and light is everything, but how do you control it? Yes, well, we haven't been doing a very good job of controlling the light in Sydney the last week or so, have we?
Why is that?
It's been softbox all the time. I haven't seen the sun for a week.
It's been very wet, yes. Yes. I tell you what, it hasn't stopped Vivid going ahead, though.
No.
I've seen a lot of people posting photos of Vivid, so which, for those who are not aware of it, is a sort of a... what would you call it? Is it like an arts festival?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of an arts festival, and they've been shining all these lights, and not just static lights, but actual animations onto the Opera House and onto the buildings around the foreshore of Circular Quay. And lighting the place up in a rather spectacular fashion. And yeah, I've seen quite a few photos appearing from that. So despite the weather, that's gone ahead. So,
be honest, Bruce. Have you been down there? Have you braved the pouring rain and the freezing cold night air?
No, I have not.
Nor have I. I'd love to see it. I'm quite happy to see the TV images. This weather has been shocking. Got some new cameras and stuff as well.
Oh, what have we? What can we expect?
Well, Ricoh have got a new camera out, a PX. This is a compact camera, but it's one of those ones that you can drop a couple of meters. You can throw dust, dirt, sand at it.
That's always on my shopping list when I'm looking for a new camera. Can I drop it from 2 meters?
Well, if you've got a family and go to the beach, it's just the job.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't know what GE you're up to. You know GE?
General Electric.
Yeah, they got their own brand of cameras.
Wow.
And they entered the Australian market about a year or so ago, but they say they got three new cameras that are going to make their worldwide premiere at the show. These will be compact cameras again.
Yeah.
The only thing is, they won't tell me what they are because it's a world announcement. It's embargoed until next Thursday.
Oh, okay.
But if you're curious, there you go. I want to see the new collaborative media surface technology. Doesn't that sound... What the hell's that?
Mm.
You know about Microsoft Surface tables? This, how can I explain it? It's like a big coffee table, which is an iPad.
Oh, okay.
So imagine an Android, whatever you want to say. I shouldn't give them free plug, should I?
So it's like Minority Report. Wiping your hands around on the table surface and interactive computer.
That's right.
Wow.
It's totally interactive with touch. It's an extraordinary thing to see. And what Fuji have done is adapt it to be used by people that want to make up a photo album. Now, that's one of the most satisfying ways, I think, of printing your photos. And I really love photo books because I get so worried about people losing their images. I mean, we might store the cloud, we store them on a computer, but until they're actually printed, it's the only thing that's safe from technology change or any of the other things. So prints are great. An album is a nightmare to make up normally, but to do it electronically is really good. And I do it every year on my birthday or in that week. I collect up all the pictures I've taken for the last 12 months and do a yearbook. And that way I get 150, 200 pictures that are reasonable and put them in a book, and I've got it for life. And I find that a great system. But when it comes to sorting them out, it is a problem. So you'll be able to, in a few months, you'll be able to go into a store, take your flash drive in there with you, or your camera card, whatever you stick the pictures on, or a CD, pop it in, and all these pictures of yours will come up on a table. You can make them smaller, bigger, and arrange them on the pages of an album, and put it all together. Then press the button, pay you 30 or 40 or 50 bucks, whatever it is, and depending on the album you chose, and off they go, and you get an lovely, beautiful bound album back in.
It makes the term desktop publishing very literal, doesn't it?
It does. Look, it's absolutely extraordinary. I've used it because I've worked in publishing for many years. I've actually used it to produce dummies, and you know, it's when you've got a project, you used to spend a fortune producing a book to show to your client, but now you can produce one copy of a book that you would swear had been through a proper printing press.
Yeah,
and everyone can do it.
I'm looking forward to seeing that, to see where that's gone in the last, you know, 12 or to 24 months as well, is the quality of the photo books, because it just seems like every year I go to PMA, I look at the photo books and just go, my God, how do they keep getting better and better and better?
Yeah, well, you'll be able to see it on the Fuji stand.
Okay.
And also have a look at the HP stand, because they're doing some stuff with a new printer that does photo books, and they're running some educational sessions on how to make your own photo book.
Right.
So that could be useful. Nikon, they've got a new 50mm 1.8G lens,
right,
and an ME1 microphone. They've not been available for people to touch and poke at before.
Right.
They've been announced, but you'll be able to poke at them if you want this time.
So the microphone is obviously for the SLRs that have video functionality.
Yep, that's it. That's the end of the dedicated video camera, maybe.
Mm.
You got any women that listen to the show? I'm sure
yes,
there's lots
do.
Of them.
We do.
Do you know Darren Leal?
Yes.
He runs this company called World Photo Adventures and takes people off around Australia and around the world.
Yeah, him and Phil are going off to, they're running a thing in France next year.
Well, I hope they're not going on the one I'm thinking of, which is he's just announced a new ladies only photo workshop.
Oh, is that right?
I don't think Darren's going to be at it, actually. But, you know, it's nice. It's a nice idea to produce.
You know what? I think it's a great idea. Just because, and you know, I wish it wasn't this way, but I know that some women get a little bit nervous when there's too many guys around. You know, and so the idea of having a females only workshop, I think, is a fantastic idea, because, you know, those females who do feel just a little bit nervous about being around too many guys all at one time, you know, can go along and learn about photography in a group they feel comfortable with. I think it's a great idea.
It's not a sexist thing, Bruce. I have to tell you, I get a little bit nervous when I find too many women around, especially one of them is my wife. Then I'm very nervous. All new sorts of new ways of printing will be on display as well.
Okay.
We've got a whole lot of new materials, exciting ways of printing your images. We've got a company, Print to Metal, that introduced a way of printing your photos onto metal and last year. This year they found a way of bending it, and they've also applied a UV coating to it, so that if you want to stick it outdoors for up to 10 years without fading, you can.
Wow. I remember interviewing those guys last year and featuring them on the podcast, and I was impressed with the product as it stood then, but to be able to stick it outdoors for 10 years, that's awesome.
I've got some photos I need to stick outdoors for 10 years and hope they fade. I guess it's got lots of applications for those tourist parks and things that like to put pictures up. But
definitely,
if you want to decorate your photo, you decorate your garden with pictures, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And if that's not enough, they've got another new process for embedding photos into acrylic glass. It says here acrylic glass. That's not right, is it? It's either acrylic glass. I don't know, but you know what I mean.
I would have thought so. Yeah, acrylic is a plastic. So yeah, I guess we'll find out when we get there.
But there's, you know, lots of. I mean, some of the stuff's quite wacky. I mean, Lady Gaga has been going mad and designing a new range of Polaroid instant cameras.
Oh, okay.
They're called the grey range. I don't know, it doesn't sound quite right that Lady Gaga would go grey, but you can see them on the Polaroid stand.
Fantastic.
If you want to. Actually, they've got another lovely little product. They've got a mobile instant printer. And if you do use a mobile phone, you can just take this little tiny printer with you, and it'll suck the pictures out of your phone and knock off some prints for you. And they've got these must be Lady Gaga's. They've got some special glasses, and you pop your SD card into it, and it shows the pictures or videos onto the screen.
Whoa.
So you can look really cool while looking at your holiday photos.
So if you're in a meeting and you're totally bored, you can just put the glasses on and watch a slideshow and totally zone out.
Yeah, I might take that to some of the meetings I go to. That'd be good. Watch a favorite recorded TV show. No one would know. I haven't seen it myself, but it's a bit hard for me to understand. But on the film and videos photographic equipment stand, they've got a thing called a spider steady. It's a tripod, and it's about the same size as a DSLR, but it really enables you to hold the your camera steady. So we all sort of wince a bit at the idea of lugging tripods around at times, so I'll be certainly heading over to their stand.
So what is it? Is it a tripod?
Yeah, it folds up very, very small.
Oh, okay.
And then it all comes out, and presumably it's used for shoulder mounting, or it can be used four different ways, that they're saying in their media release.
Wow.
It's on stand 522. So, I haven't seen it. I want to see it because.
No, thank you for the tip. I'll definitely check them out.
We're always looking for things to lean our cameras on, aren't we? Because we couldn't carry the camera, like bean bags or little mini tripods or bits of string that we hold between our feet and pull up against.
Yeah.
All those things. Yep. So I'll be interested. I love those things.
Yeah.
Talking about pulling up on things, camera straps. Are you fed up with your camera strap?
A little bit.
Yeah, well, they got a new range of fashion camera straps. If for those people that want to look bright and cheerful, take your sunglasses and go and look at the Garage Brands stand. They've got some really modern, flash, cool designer camera straps.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, it helps you take better pictures, but I guess it's all part of the fun of taking pictures and being in photography, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always more toys to buy, that's for sure.
Well, it is such fun. Yeah. I still think the most important thing is to print your photos, though. Whatever else we're doing at the show, it's all about making sure that you'll be able to find those pictures another 20 years.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Paul, well, thank you for your time tonight.
Pleasure.
And, yeah, so for those who haven't yet, get on to pmaaustralia.com.au. Is that right?
That's right.
Yep. Register your details if you want to attend the trade show. Now, what is the official punter's title for the show? It's not. They don't call it PMA. It's got some other title, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. What do we call it? It is called the Imaging and Entertainment Expo.
There you go.
So, do bring your camera because we've got fashion models wandering around. We've got famous photographers on every stand. You know, the Nikon stand has all those wonderful professional photographers. There's lots to see and do, but do bring your camera.
Excellent. And definitely do register up front so that you don't have to pay that $20 to get in the door. That's definitely worth doing it. Excellent. All right, Paul, well, thank you once again, and we'll catch up with you at the trade show next weekend, and we'll probably talk to you again in a year.
Okay, look forward to seeing you, Bruce.
See you, Paul. And one final thing that I want to mention before I sign off, and that is that coming up in a couple of weeks' time is Noir Deux, Film Noir Part 2, here in Sydney. And I just thought I'd throw out a little reminder to any Sydney-based photographers who want to join us. Give us a yell on Facebook and let us know if you want to come along. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, that will do it. Hopefully by next weekend, Shelton will have got his PC issues all sorted out and be back online, and we'll be back in the saddle on a regular basis, hopefully. See how we go. In the meantime, look, if you've got any questions or any topics that you want us to cover, you know, because obviously it's been a long break between episodes of the podcast, and certainly episodes of the podcast which feature Shelton Muller, please drop me an email in the next week or so that I can at least throw some things Shelton's way and say, hey, look, we've at least got some stuff to talk about. You know, people want to know about this, that, or the other. Or maybe you just want to write and say congratulations on your marriage or something like that. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, you know where to find us. studio@audiotu.com or theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com. Either email address will be fine. And yeah, until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.